Capital 263.
What's happening, good people? It's your boy Twist, and welcome to My Two Cents. The co-host with the most could not be here today, but I'm joined in studio with a very special guest. The man behind, he's a very young man, actually. Very young man who has done something that I think is just amazing. He's managed to publish his own book, and we are here to talk about the book, as well as how he helps young people find their careers, right?
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, drum roll please for Paddington Nundu. What's up, man?
I'm good, man. How's it?
Yeah, how's it going?
It's good. We are still taking toddler steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. So many things happened during the week that I found very interesting. For starters, did you hear about Dangote looking for a bay?
Oh, yeah. He actually said, he emphasized that he's 65 and not getting any younger. So, I think...
65 and not getting any younger.
Yeah, I think...
But he's been married before, right?
Yeah, divorced twice, I think.
Yeah, divorced twice, mm-hmm. Adult kids.
Yeah.
I had guys saying, hey...
Dude, come on.
$1 billion.
$1 billion. So everyone out there,
I can be the woman you need for $1 billion.
I can actually come and stay with you, man. Don't worry about
aging. Don't be here, don't get tired.
Chero, I need dementia. I'll still be here.
Yo, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. But I think, you know, when you've reached a level of success like Dangote, there's a certain detachment that you get from people. I think you get so addicted to the entrepreneurship hustle that you find it very difficult to connect with people, and people actually find it difficult to meet your demands.
Yeah, but you know what? Someone said to me, so every person has an area of influence, you know, just like lights. So someone is a candle.
Yeah.
So if you light a candle, it has its own radius. Where it's, you know, it can shine on. Then someone is a bulb. Someone is a fluorescent. So the type of Dangote, if you go to get to Doma Tower Light. And like, exactly like you're saying.
Yeah.
You will be high up there, and you cover a huge radius. And it's not easy for everyone there to come to you.
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
You'd have to be his child.
Ugh.
Sarah, I think he's going to be tight. I think you should have taken down notes from Strive. Because Strive seemed to have figured it out early on.
I love how that family works. You know, that's that's the perfect you know, the perfect example. Lifestyle you could actually think of.
Yeah.
You know, you have the money, you have the good wife, you have the good family, then the way the kids carry themselves as well, you know, they are just on some other level.
Alright, and then there's some songs that have dropped this week, but Nas, Winky D, I don't need a parliament. The bangam data. The banger.
Shit. No, yeah. Whenever that guy comes to the studio, you know, Kuti, it's going to be fire.
I was very much impressed. Very much impressed. Like, they call him a dancer or chanter or whatever, but for me, Winky D is just an amazing MC. that's what I think. That's what I think.
Sure, that guy. You know, it on the song you touched on something which is very, very key, especially towards the elections now, that the independent candidates, you know, you have the 100% to yourself if you run as an independent candidate.
It's he went in on a lot of issues. Subliminal though. He hit some of them so well.
That guy.
But yeah, I think so nice. And then there's another song that I've had in my head this entire week. Yakadem, the comic.
Okay.
You haven't heard that song?
No, I haven't heard.
Alright, so I'm going to stream just a little bit of it. Just a little bit of it. Baby girl, colorful, pita kunge pendi. Tino waita kuchini vure bendi. Ludo rangu rwaka wanda kunge sendi. Nyango zangu kini nisi na osensi. It's Magalele. Magalele. This song is literally, it has been stuck in my head. Kengis Magalele. Magalele. Kengis Magalele. Une moyo kunge jeli. So if you want to hear more of that, guys, be sure to look up Kadam the Comic, Candice Mwagaleli, on YouTube, man. It's a fire track. Honestly, when I heard this song, I wasn't expecting it to be stuck in my head like this, but Kadam is actually a good rapper. Mm-hmm. And he may have been joking, but yo, Kadam, if you hear this, I love this song, man. I love this song.
Get into the studio more.
Yes, please. Drop more beats. Please, drop some more of that stuff. So recently there was some talk about a space station being started here. Mm-hmm. for the youth. I don't know, what do you think about that, fam?
So I just got into a small discussion with my friends about it. So I think from the discussion I'll just highlight two key points from it. So number one, having a space station and running that...
It's a space station school, right?
A space station school.
Is this a space... Yeah, station
school. Then we actually have... We actually need...
A space station.
Yes, a space station and put that satellite up there.
Yeah.
We'll need all that.
Yeah.
So, one of my guys was actually saying to me, you know, all these things, this venture will not bring in any money.
Mm.
We will actually be pumping out money to run the space or to run the area.
Can we afford this?
Yes, that was the other thing. Then secondly, someone actually say that when we now have, you know, that aerial view of our country and to see each and everything that is there, and we now have the capacity to do more.
Yeah.
We will now know all the minerals that we have. We will now know what's happening before it happens. We will now know this and that. So this actually, in essence, will not directly get any money from it. But on the other way, we are...
It's a step forward.
It's a step
forward. And it's a great way for us to get more information pertaining to our country and...
You know, so
the minerals and all of its secrets.
And all of its secrets. Someone was actually saying, why is it the West is so obsessed with Zimbabwe? Why can they not just go and do something else elsewhere?
Because Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. And the person was saying, it was actually saying, these guys, they know more than us about our Zimbabwe.
Yes, so, that is true.
Yes. But if we now get an opportunity to have this station and get an idea of what we really have and what we are really worth, then maybe we can, you know, rise or do something else. But it's coming at a certain time and we are not really sure if we can afford it.
All of these changes come at the most awkwardest of moments. I don't...
Election gimmick in that.
Yeah, it is.
To the election mode, anything can happen.
Exactly.
10 plus 4.
Exactly.
Anything can happen. Election mode.
Yeah, 10 plus 4 indeed, my guy.
Yeah, so...
All right, I mean... Why not? Shout out to Chichi Chaitika. I mean... Yeah. Interesting times ahead, really, man.
True.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, fam, so the conversation is shifting on to you. I did say that you did publish a book, right?
Yeah.
And can you tell us what it's called again?
Oh, so the book is called How to Launch a Successful Career from High School.
From high school?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Where did you go to high school?
To some mission.
Oh, you were a boarder?
Yeah, I was a boarder at a mission school called St. Michael's High School,
yeah,
which is in Mondoro.
Yeah.
If I tell you the name, St. Michael's High School, you think of a St. George's, you think of a St. Ignatius, but wait until you come to the school.
All right, what was it like there? Do you remember what it was like?
Yeah, I do. I think for me, the greater part, it was awesome in one thing. So I think from the time I was in primary up until form two, third term, you know, I was this introvert. I was this quiet kid. So the whole school knew me because of one thing. I used to put on three quarter shorts. You know, they were huge.
One Jimmy was my round rubbers.
The round matter. So my senior master used to pick on me because of the shot. I told him, Mpana, my shot, I need to full quarter again.
Above what we got shot, we got very much shot.
My is a Malay, I'm not.
Exactly.
All the way from your ribs, Dara.
I remember that this one time, because I did have a stint at boarding school. This one time, it was winter. Garam class yamwari. And then this teacher guy, he comes in and he's checking all the guys. Like a figure my shorts of God, like a piece of figure my shorts of God. And then he got, and rest of my BC swachi, my actual shorts that they had. And my final son, and he got short cargo came cut. So in any manager, he got to me. And then he had me remove my shirt. I removed my shirt. They got to come. Kim cut. Up a winter. Mankumbaga Zarajena.
Daraga Nigeria body. Winter, we don't bath.
That's it's standard deal.
It's standard.
That's what I guess. You know, when I plan it, would have said, I would have taken a guess at you. But I started. Anyway, Monday to Tuesday, what you just do is you'd wash your face and you'd wash your armpits. Dear girls who I went to school with, I'm so sorry, but this is the truth.
Do you get to
report?
There was nothing else you could actually
do. So there I was, bro. Can you imagine? Some class. All the girls were like looking at me and they were laughing at me. Papa na puda. Like the entire block just had a field day with us, man. It was just insane, man. But yeah, that's part of what I remember. So tell me something. How did the idea for the book come up?
So when I started off doing career engagements and talking to students and all that, and maybe talking also to professionals, you know, who are high up there, so they continue to tell you what they require when they hire someone.
Yeah.
Then you also get to know what institutions look forward to when they get an undergrad, you know, when you're starting off part one at a university or at any tertiary institution.
Yeah.
So you see that all that progress which is up there, it starts from high school.
Yeah.
You know, this is where you get to understand or to get an idea of, this is now the time that I have to set a career, and this is now the time that I have to prepare for that specific career. So this is where the idea of the book came from, to actually say, so how then, as a young person, how do I, you know, prepare myself? How do I launch my career now, starting from high school?
Well, so basically, it's like you bring the kids into a process where they're visualizing. It's like a position where they're visualizing the steps that they're going to take towards their careers.
Yeah. So there's this concept they call the log frame. Or the log frame thinking. So with the log frame thinking, you start with the end in mind. You know, so if you're home, you actually say, or better still, but I was at Wanyenga baby, but you've actually set a goal. That's the idea. So you set a goal. After you set a goal, then you start putting up the steps for you to reach the ultimate goal.
All right.
So if I am in high school, I get an opportunity to think about my career, to think about my life, to think about in the next 50 years, and with how much.
All right.
If I answer these questions, then I can sit down and say, this is now my time to launch my career.
All right.
Let me do it.
But with the way career paths have gone in Zimbabwe, especially due to unemployment, underemployment, and just the state of the economy, how things just have a way of changing willy nilly ndara into zyamuna akaita akastarta banking just one time tandotori mukombi ndandagara nemfesa tatoti ah ndakaita banking ndara ndakaita banking but handina kana day one randakamboshandisa chi qualification yangu de banking izvo I think aita yanga yanga kuita zvefarming.
Okay.
Yeah, anga kuita zvefarming. So you know, how do you then marry the two, where one, you want this kid to visualize the future, and at the same time there are all these uncontrollable things within the environment and happening around them?
All right, so the idea is to say that
transfer pane pressure ekuti anzi make sure kuti zvaunoita zvine mari aunakana freedom yekuti uite pursue your dreams or whatever. It's just make sure it's ordered as never.
So I had two ladies who came to the office yesterday.
Yeah.
The other one is actually starting off part one here at Catholic University doing business management and IT.
Yeah.
Then the second one is a graduate of politics and administration from MSU.
Yeah.
So their question was, so the first one was actually saying, the one from MSU, saying, I've done this degree, but I agree with myself now. You know, soon after graduating, she's agreeing with herself that this degree was profitable 5 years ago, the year that she started the degree.
Sure.
Okay. Then the second one is saying, we have done, you know, the first semester at Catholic University, you generalize, you know.
Yeah.
You get an opportunity to do everything.
Yeah.
In a particular space. Then you go on to major, you know, to actually say, this is what I'm going to be focusing on for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
So the question now is, what is it that I'm going to pick, which is profitable, which is marketable, and which is good for me?
Yeah.
So I end up telling people each and every time that it's not about getting the one which is marketable or profitable. It's getting the job that you love. It's putting yourself in an area, you know, if I get into this area, I'm going to be the best.
I will excel.
I will excel. And I am the best to myself at the same time.
Yep.
If they say that for the next 40 years, after graduating, I'll be working for the next 40 years before you retire at 65. That's almost 40, 50 years you'll be working.
Yeah.
You will not regret any day waking up at 7 to go to that job for the 8 to 5. So yep. The idea now is to say, which job can I take? Or which career can I pick where I know I'm going to excel?
Right.
I excel in two ways.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, I used to tell young people, follow your passion. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes they follow it blindly.
Yeah.
But follow your passion, but know how to monetize your passion, because skills pay your bills. So in any...
you got a catchphrase. Yeah.
Skills pay your bills.
Yeah.
So in any given way, people will always try to see, how are you going to monetize that particular skill, that particular passion of yours, and you go on with it. So, like you were saying, our economy is bad.
Yeah.
That could be temporary. So, you could actually choose a career because you're seeing that maybe this is, you know, this is the thing that is marketable. So, let me go for this. But then what happens if the economy goes back to normal? Will that specific career continue to be marketable? Then secondly, we are looking at the future of work. We are looking into technology. We are looking into artificial intelligence. We are
a lot of the jobs that we hold at high esteem right now, 20 years from now will be non-existent.
They won't be in existence. So
I'm very worried about that, because I'm looking at our current school system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing an effort to bring in a level of innovation to address what's coming.
Yeah.
Because it is coming.
It's already here.
Yes, so it is here.
I was talking to my lawyer friends the other day. I actually posted it on Facebook.
You do know that in a few years there won't be any lawyers. Because there is a machine with an algorithm that that can replicate what lawyers are doing right
please
now.
Please whisper that insight.
Dear lawyers, I love you, but yo, technology is coming and it's kicking butts and taking no names, man.
So there's this guy, I'm forgetting his name. So he's in the States. So this guy, what he did was, he got hold of all the court cases that were tried in the States.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
And you put all that information into one system.
Right.
So if I get arrested today, I go to his application, then I say drinking and driving.
Yeah.
Then I'll see all the court cases relating to the same incident.
Yeah.
Then with that information, if I can read it, if I can translate it,
yeah,
if I can understand it,
yeah,
it means with that information I can go and represent myself in the court.
Yourself?
Yes. There's no need for me to get a lawyer because I'm getting an understanding. You remember the movie Law Abiding Citizen?
Yeah.
You know, that's more like it.
Yeah.
You know, that guy, he had to go out there and study law to its best.
Yeah.
Then he comes back, then, you know, he's... In a way, the law will not catch him. That's the same thing. So we are now having all these scenarios coming up and unfolding and all that. But if we don't know what's going to happen, it does not necessarily mean that we do not have to plan about the about tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that's the idea.
Yeah.
So there are two extremes in career development. You can actually go to a school, talk to kids. You'll get two groups.
Yeah.
Actually three. You get the first one, they run with the phrase career certainty. So these guys, they will be certain
that this is what I'm going to do.
This is what I'm going to do.
I'm going to be the governor of Zimbabwe.
And they'll go for it.
Yeah.
Come what come may.
Yeah.
Then
I was in school, man.
Yeah,
I remember those guys.
You remember those?
they were determined to be governors, but
then comes the second group.
Yeah.
The second group would actually say, maybe for me I'll be in the medical field.
Yeah.
But I'm not yet sure what I'll do exactly, but I know I have to be in the medical field. So they will take time to choose dentistry, to be a physician, to be a doctor, to be a pharmacist, to choose from all these. But they know that my field is in the medical.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they get an idea.
Yeah.
Then the third group is these guys, they don't even know what's happening. they have no idea. So they can even go up until university not knowing what they want to do. So these are the type of people that they get into university, they do 2 years with a degree, then they say, no, I'm not feeling this degree.
This is not me.
This is not me. Let me try out something else.
A friend of mine, a friend of mine, and she said to me, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is wrong. It should actually be upside down.
Mm-hmm.
This is what a friend of mine, Black Pearl, special shout out to Black Pearl, because she's the one who said it. And I'd never thought of it because she said to me, self-actualization is the first thing that should start, because self-actualization is what gives birth to everything else that you need in your life.
True.
It's similar to what you just said, that skills pay the bills.
Pay the bills.
So I'm listening to what you're saying right now, and you're saying there's that group of people that then go to college and 2 years down the line, they're not feeling it. We're not taught self-actualization in school. We're not even groomed to think in line with self-actualization first.
Mm-hmm.
It's normally right. Exactly.
But tambo chakapani chi? So I was listening to an audio, a motivational audio today. So this guy was saying, if there's anything that parents do which is very difficult for young kids, especially young boys, is to be told, "Ndiwe baba vemba."
Yeah.
You know, you're the father of this house.
And
you're being told that you are 9 years old, you're 15, you're 20, you're 25.
That's pressure, man.
That's too much pressure.
That is a lot of pressure.
No one out there, and no guy out there, would want Kuona Momzachishupika.
That's true.
You would never want that.
Yeah.
So because of that, so when he was telling his story, he was saying that he made a lot of decisions which made him end up in jail for 10 years.
Oh, you know, my goodness.
Because he made sure that I have to get the money. I don't even have to go to school because...
Dini baba vemba.
In panenda uchikuru saka, aripambandia.
Right.
You know? So because of that, he made a lot of decisions, positively, negatively, something like that. But the pressure is that ndiwe baba vemba.
Yeah.
That's the first pressure.
Yeah.
The second thing, tirimu zim, guys.
Yeah.
Vaskana waruguru was 7, 10, 15,000. Yeah. Daram chaturu with a 10,000, 15,000.
Yep.
So can budget is a 30 or it on average when a budget is 15,000.
Yeah.
But you work with a bus, or go pay you $500.
Saga Mario, it's a vampire.
Then you start thinking, so is it necessary to do even this degree? Is it necessary to even go to school? Says on Goita. Did you want a guy or my brother who actually went to university? Achieve Fanakuiring Abana. I can graduate and a banking. But in his arguing. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
You get? So then you start getting all these questions and all these ideas and all that. So then we bring them together to get an idea with the book, how to launch a successful career from high school. So the book is there to, it's more like a workbook, you know. You get to read, you get insights, but then you are given a section in each and every chapter to do write-ups, to actually say, Can you read? Have you understood what you've read? Can you make a plan for yourself according to the information that you've just been given?
Yeah.
You know, so something that you... So, like I said, there are people who will actually be certain of what they want to do.
Yeah.
But for some, it is very important to have an idea which will push you forward. To actually have an idea and an understanding that I need a particular career that I have to focus on. Then, you know, everything then unfolds. But at the same time, these pressures are still there. You get pressures from home. You get pressures from society. You get pressures from the economy, from politics, everywhere.
It's so unfortunate because I feel like in a lot of families, parents try to right whatever bad decisions they may have made financially or certain wrongs they may have, certain miscalculated decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Through their children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, inini tumboti ndaka wina loto mdara ndane 15 meter yangu na ndaka putitsa ndaka ichi ndaka tenga benzi yangu ndaka isa maribs and chungo roja kana kukure zuwiko kukubruku atiti then you go over here atiti ndapira mari. I will push you towards something that will alleviate my situation.
True.
And this is, I think, a situation that we are finding ourselves in. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are finding ourselves in because once we go out and push out to alleviate the situation, there's no longer room for self-actualization. There's no longer room for passion. There's no longer room for any proper planning. Mm-hmm. Tamu survival mode. Yes,
survival
I have to survive. So, like, it's a very complex predicament.
Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, so I think when I really I think about 20, is it in 2013? That's more or less the time I started Career Zimbabwe and do career guidance work. So we went to the school, then we delivered, you know, this training. It was good. So in Nyanga, then after the training, this kid walks up to me and says, I am one of the best in my sciences class.
Yeah.
Okay. A-level student. I'm the best, one of the best in my sciences class. But the danger I'm seeing or I'm foreseeing is that I'm going to have a hard time with my parents. Because when they see me and when they see the results, for them, they have a doctor in their house.
Uh-huh.
But for me, I know deep within that I'm a fashion designer.
Hey!
So the kid goes on to say, so I say, so how do you know that you're a fashion designer? So the kid says, in my free time, I can take a pencil and a paper. I can do a design at any given time.
Yeah.
Without pressure.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Relaxed. I don't even need to think. I don't even need to. I can do it relaxed. I take the same design. I give it to my cousin who is doing a fashion degree in the States. She takes the design. She submits it as is. She gets an A+.
Wow.
So I know that I'm a fashion designer. So
how
do I go to my parents and tell them, oh guys, after getting 15 points in sciences, I'm going to do fashion and design.
How do you do that?
How do you do that? So they're now there. So in the book, I talk about different kinds of career parenting.
Yeah.
So the first one is the traditional parents. So the traditional parents, those are the ones we have. So these guys would actually say, because they were taught standard 4 and with the Smith regime, so their understanding is that pass grade 7, pass form 4, pass form 6, go to university, get a job,
exactly,
get married,
exactly,
retire, and die.
Exactly. A set format. And you know, it's not just a Zimbabwean thing.
Everywhere.
Anywhere in Africa,
yes,
that is the setting.
That's the standard. That's what, and that's an employee mentality. Over, you know.
Yeah.
Then you have the legacy parents. So the legacy parents, we are talking of maybe the Munenzas, the Kurakurewas, the Masiwas.
Yeah.
So these guys have actually been our first entrepreneurs, or they have been the entrepreneurs. So they've built these empires and businesses. So to them, they say, if I die, you're my child.
Yeah.
You're supposed to carry on the legacy. You're supposed to carry on the name of the family. We still have to be up high there.
Yeah.
You know? So by virtue of that,
yeah,
if you are the child in that family, even if you want to do something else, you know that kumbakune makombe aganze God given. Tufana kutuma manager. Kumbakune mabaza aganze kura kuhero.
Uchina usingadi.
Uchina usingadi. Whether you are a she or a he, you have to know how to manage the family business.
Yeah.
Or kumbakuturine mashop, kumbakune tech shop, kumbakune. These are legacy parents. They've built something.
Yeah.
They want it to continue. They want their name to continue.
Yeah.
And they then, within the space, there's a second group of parents who, your dad is a lawyer, your father is a lawyer,
mm-hmm,
your big sister is a lawyer.
For everyone.
Everyone is a lawyer.
Everyone's so, either a lawyer or a doctor. Yeah.
So you, by virtue of that, you might not be able to choose anything else.
All right.
Because everyone is putting pressure on you. You are already a lawyer. Because everyone is saying, everyone in this family has to go to law school.
Yeah.
Or everyone in this family has to go to medical school.
Yeah.
So then there are the other group of parents where you get the first generation graduates. So the first generation graduates are maybe an example of me. You become the first graduate in your family.
Yeah.
You look into your extended family, 2-3 families, there's none there.
Yeah.
You become the first generation graduate.
Yeah.
So sometimes the parents, they're not even concerned on what you're doing. They actually say, I think we know what you want. We will support you. What is it that you want? Let's support you on what?
Yeah.
On what you want. So this different. So there are more examples. But in each and every stance, you see that each and every parent has a certain way of putting pressure or supporting a child on their career choice.
Yeah.
So the job is to now to say to the child, how then do you communicate your career choice to the parent? Because these are the guys who are going to be paying for everything.
True.
You know?
True.
So how then do I communicate what I want to do to the parents? And also the parents communicate to what they think is good to me as well. Then we reach
sort of
agreement.
Yeah, an understanding.
So with this kid I was talking about, so they did not reach an agreement with the parents when she finished. So that meant that in the first year she did not go to school because the parents wanted this, she wanted that. In the second year she wanted this, the parents wanted that. So 2 years down the line, no one is going to school. No progress. It's because people are not agreeing on how you have to select a career and this and do that. But for some families of ours, dude, how na kana mugana wokuto meita decisions.
Oh, it's a favor mode, guys.
It's a favor mode. Utorine zvimwe utorine mapana 2-3 vari kumashure kwa
mugo. Vakatomirira kuti utoita blow up shamaro utozovatase, utozovajega.
You want to go graduate cheat. It want a graft gabozi. Tisi takatokutarisa iwewe.
Exactly.
The pressure that you're talking about.
I think it's very unfortunate because this pressure doesn't stop at that level, at university level. I think this is why we have so many broken adults who are so disconnected from their jobs. Like, have you ever been to a place where someone just hates their job. You get them, Daraga. The atmosphere is just cold. It's just cold.
Like the pressure you're saying. My girlfriend was saying to
it's
me.
It's horrible.
My girlfriend was saying to me 2 days ago.
And there are a lot of people who hate their jobs.
No, she was actually saying
a busload.
If you want to see broken people and broken families, especially the our families that we are supposed to create now,
yeah,
or start, ingodana na breadwinner, we ime mukri, we ripa mawan. If you are the breadwinner at your place,
yeah,
and dude, and you get married,
yeah,
go ripa mawan. Because she's going to fight for the same resources which are in the house with your family.
Oh yeah, bro. Yeah.
That's what she was saying. So I think she was getting it from your friends or something. But
she's right, because I've seen instances where something like that has been happening.
Then you get the broken adults.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got the broken adults.
Pressure's everywhere.
It's insane, fam. It's insane. It's insane, you know. I just feel like these are conversations that we need to have more of, you know, because the fact that we find ourselves in this situation means good bunny.
There's something bunny, which is lacking.
Exactly. There's something wrong somewhere. But bunny, something.
But in all this discussion, I'd like people to understand one thing. Changing careers is normal.
Uh-huh.
It's part of life. It's very, very normal.
Yeah.
I started off doing political science.
Yeah.
That's what I did at UZ.
Yeah.
So in my third year, that's when I said, let me try out career development, or actually, this is what I want to do. So in the first 4 or 5 years after graduation, I was doing two things, careers, and at the same time using my political science degree working elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I was doing those two things at the same time.
Yeah.
So then I finished, then I started taking courses on career management, then I'm full time, then the book, then everything else that I think I should do within that space. But when you move, or when people make these career transitions or changes, it's very normal, because psychologists actually say it's a person on average, you change 3 careers in your life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's very normal. Sometimes someone can actually start off as a teacher, then get into education management,
yeah,
then get into consultancy, then you know, you change and you evolve, you know,
evolve.
you see what's there, what's not there, and all that. Then you always see a link in all these things that you're doing, because your person doesn't change, you know.
Yeah.
Inside you don't change.
Yeah.
So for me, I've actually seen areas where I use my political science even when I'm talking about education.
All right.
Then there are areas where even if I'm talking about education, I bring in politics.
All
you know,
right.
All these things, they will always have...
Feed into each other.
They will always feed into each other in one way or the other. If you get into a deeper conversation with the guy you're talking about who was a banker,
yeah,
or who got a banking degree but now he's into farming.
Yeah.
The way he handles his business, his management, his accounts, his everything, it's totally different, because, you know, he's fusing most of these things from the banking qualification that you got. So you always be useful in some way. Yeah, in some way.
Right. So we touched a bit on how the education system right now,
mm-hmm,
is a bit broken. So I stumbled upon a soundbite,
mm-hmm,
that I'm going to play right now. It's called 6 Problems with Modern Schooling System. So I need you to listen very carefully. And we're going to discuss this.
All right.
There is a growing feeling today that something is wrong with our system of education. But what is it? Well, we send our children to school to prepare them for the real world, which is changing very, very fast. But our schools haven't changed much for hundreds of years. In fact, thought leaders from around the world agree that the current system of education was designed in the industrial age mainly to churn out factory workers. And this industrial age mentality of mass production and mass control still runs deep in schools. Industrial age values.
Problem one.
Mm-hmm.
We educate children by batches and govern their lives by ringing bells. All day long, students do nothing but follow instructions. Sit down. Take out your books. Turn to page 40. Solve problem number 3. Stop talking. At school, you're rewarded for doing exactly what you're told. These are industrial age values that were really important for factory workers. Their success depended on following instructions and doing exactly what they were told. But in today's world, how far can you get by simply following instructions? The modern world values people who can be creative, who can communicate their ideas and collaborate with others. But our children don't get a chance to develop such skills in a system that's based on industrial age values. Lack of autonomy and control. At school, our children experience a complete lack of autonomy and control. Every minute of a child's life is tightly controlled by the system. But in today's world, if you're doing important work, then you're managing your own time. You're making your own decisions regarding what to do and when to do it. But life at school looks very different. The system is sending a dangerous message to our children that they are not in charge of their own lives. They just have to follow whatever is laid down instead of taking charge and making the most of their lives. Experts believe autonomy is incredibly important for children. It's no wonder then that our children are bored and demotivated by school. Can you imagine how you would feel if you were told exactly what to do for every minute of your life? Inauthentic learning.
Problem number three.
Most of the learning that happens in schools today is not authentic because it relies on memorization and rote learning. The system defines a generic set of knowledge that all children must know. And then, every few months, we measure how much has been retained by administering exams. We know that such learning is not authentic because most of it is gone the day after the exam. Learning can be much deeper and more authentic. It can be so much more than just memorization and retention. But that's the only thing we measure, and test scores are the only thing we value. This has created an extremely unhealthy culture for students, parents, and teachers. Children are going through endless hours of tuitions, staying up all night memorizing useless facts that they will forget very soon. No room for passions and interests.
Problem number four.
We have an extremely standardized system where each child must learn the same thing at the same time in the same way as everyone else. This doesn't respect the basic fact of being human, that each of us is unique and different in our own way. We all have different passions and interests. And the key to fulfillment in life is to find your passion. But do the schools of today help our children find and develop their passion? There seems to be no room in the current education system for the most important questions in a child's life. What am I good at? What do I want to do in life? How do I fit into this world? The system doesn't seem to care. There are so many greatly talented people who failed in the traditional school system. Fortunately, they were able to overcome these failures, but not everyone can. We have no measure for how much talent, how much potential goes unrecognized in the current system. Differences in how we learn.
Problem number five.
Each of us is also different in how we learn, in how much time we take to learn something, and what tools and resources work best for us. But the system has no room for such differences. So if you're a bit slow in learning something, you are considered a failure, when all you needed was a bit more time to catch up. Lecturing. In the current system, children are lectured for more than 5 hours a day. But there are a few big problems with lecturing. Sal Khan from Khan Academy calls lecturing a fundamentally dehumanizing experience. 30 kids with fingers on their lips, not allowed to interact with each other. Also, in any given classroom, different students are at different levels of understanding. Now, whatever the teacher does, there are bound to be students who are either bored because they're ahead or confused because they're behind. Because of the internet and digital media, our children have at their fingertips all the information in the world. Technology has made it possible for anyone to learn anything. But for fear of losing control, the system is not leveraging these incredible resources. Our system of education, which evolved in the industrial age, has become outdated and ineffective. If we want to prepare our children for the modern world, if we want learning to be effective and engaging, then there's no doubt that we need to fundamentally change our system of education.
right. That was our soundbite segment.
Dude, that's frightening.
That was our soundbite segment.
All right. So I was taking some notes.
Yeah.
So allow me to respond in, no order.
But go.
Yeah. So on one of the problems, so Finland has one of the best educational systems in the world.
Yeah.
So in their writings and their research, they actually say that a country should define their educational model. Are you an inside educational system or an outside educational system? So if it's inside, it means that we have more of lectures, more of theory, more of that stuff.
Yeah.
The bookish part.
Yeah.
If you're outside, we are getting the student to have an experience of what they're being taught.
Yeah.
So then other countries would actually say, let's bring the two together.
Yeah.
So that you have theory and practical. So now the danger is that in most cases when people say that we are going to merge the practical and the theory, it's they put less emphasis on the practical side, or they invest less on the practical side. So you have someone who did agriculture in high school, but they cannot manage
a farm.
But then you can't have a garden of vegetables. But then you did
agriculture
and you got an A, a B, or a C. It means that there's something wrong on the practical side.
I so agree with you, because when I was doing computers, I only thought the only thing you could do was the Q basic. Just programming. Microsoft Word is and PowerPoint and all that. That's all I thought. I didn't know kuti kwangu nechinonzi graphic design. None of that. Nakaroso zianda ndaenda my 20s.
So now that point brings me to my second one.
Yeah.
So I was given this statement with a friend of mine who's he has been in the educational sector for more than 20 years now.
Yeah.
So he says to me, you have to understand one thing when you go to these schools and talk to them.
Yeah.
Schools are institutions of learning.
Yeah.
But the schools are not learning.
Right.
So the school is an institution of learning,
but the school itself
is not learning.
Yeah, that's so deep. It's not evolving.
It's not evolving.
It's like what they were saying.
Yes.
Rest of the world is moving forward. The rest of the world is evolving. But our school systems, they're not changing.
Yeah, it's the same. So the qualification that your grade one teacher had when that teacher taught you, it's now 20 years down the line. You're now a graduate. You got a degree. If you go back to that grade one teacher of yours,
it's the
most
same
likely
model.
Most likely,
yes.
She or he still has the same diploma.
Yes.
She did not do any other program to shape up, evolve, to learn more about education. Nope.
But but then you know what? It's not. I think we can't necessarily blame the teachers as well, because the system, I think the system kind of benefits from the incompetence
from the way it is
right now. The system is working perfectly fine for them.
So at a certain point in time, we had a challenge at UZ that we saw that. So they actually had to put all the lecturers on a schedule to actually say, all lecturers who want to continue lecturing here, by the time, by this and this year, you should all have a master's degree or a doctor or something like that.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, I've graduated this year, I don't have any job. All right, let me go back to UZ. Then you start lecturing. You do not have experience of the world, of the industry that you're teaching people to go to. You have not seen it.
Yeah.
Secondly, you do not have a master's degree that has given you the requisite skill or information for you to master that particular subject and go on to teach someone. Mm-hmm. You know, so the institutions of learning, they are not learning themselves. Then, I can't. Have you seen the video, bro, by Prince Ear when he's bringing the school to court? His argument is that he gives an example of how we have evolved in developing cars to the extent that today you can have a self-driving car. You yeah. can hit your own seat.
Yeah.
You can do this, you can do that yeah. in your own car.
Yeah.
The car has evolved so quite much. Dramatically.
Yeah.
But the class model or the lecturing system, it is still the same from the time of Ford, Henry Ford,
that
up
is
to
true.
Now.
That is true. There's a huge exclusion of innovation within our education system. Mm-hmm. And it's much like what we're saying now. And now we're at a point where these jobs, they are preparing they are preparing the kids for, they are now at risk mm-hmm. of being lost, but no one is having this conversation. We're all going about like it's all normal. Let me give you an example. Pakatanga nyaya kutengisa magetsi at random stores
mm-hmm.
and it people, I remember people bought my machine. People bought their machines. There was a tax repair that sold my gates. There was a tax repair that sold my gates. There was a tax shop that sold my gates here.
Mm-hmm.
And then Econet just draws and it's like, comes and it's like, we're innovating this. Now you can buy my gates on your phone.
There's no need for you to walk around.
There's no need for these guys anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. To my tax shop, to a drug bar. Like isn't that a number kumba kwangu easy so exactly I'm sisina moon and this is where we're headed if we don't start having the right conversations and preparing people for what's to come.
And the best time is to teach a high school student to evolve and to adopt.
And it's not just high school. I'm thinking even adults.
we're still in that
story. Exactly. We all really need to start adopting a system of evolving. And I guess the system is afraid of implementing most of these things because it means a lot of people will get laid off. There'll be a lot of cuts. One wants to get cut off.
Yeah.
But whichever way you look at it, it's coming. So, yes. In essence,
so the next point is like exactly like you're saying.
Yeah.
We need to talk about the future of work.
Yeah.
So the future of work, I would just hint on two, maybe one area actually, which I talk to my friends most of the time. We have an 8-to-5. I don't have an 8-to-5.
Yep.
You know, I can work on, if I have internet, I can work from anywhere.
Yeah. That's something I discovered as well.
Can do anything.
I literally
want.
No longer need
the office.
The office. I can move. I can work on the go.
Yes.
As long as I've got internet,
I'm good.
Yeah.
So my friends, we have an 8-to-5. They struggle with this. So I always tell them that maybe you have to sit with your management and talk about doing a results-based approach into work. To actually say, on Monday we have a meeting, then we have a target for the week, okay, with the supervisor. Then the supervisor says, you know, the institutional target is this. So for marketing, your target is this. For this department, your target is this. For manufacturing, your target is this. So if everyone reaches their target on Tuesday, there might be no need for you to come to the office for 8-to-5 on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So besides you enjoying autonomy, besides you enjoying that space and controlling that what you're doing and what you love, you also get to work very hard to meet your target. So by the end of the day, you're saving electricity in the office, you're saving internet, you're saving on the phone bill, you're saving on a lot of expenses. You're saving on a lot of expenses.
Yes.
Compared to the other idea to say, management just says, come to the office.
For what?
Then you're given work to do on the go as you are in the office. Then you get people who say, dude, you've ever got this, or actually, it's either you sending the message to your girlfriend or your girlfriend sending you the message that, sorry, I can't meet with you today. I just got an assignment now. And yeah, it's 4:15
yeah,
four,
yeah.
And you finish work at 4:30.
Yeah,
It's because of that idea that people do not set targets in the beginning of the week of what they want to do. If you get pop-ups, it's easier to manage when you already have targets for the week.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. So the idea now is to say a person should be paid per hour or per result that you have brought to the company.
Yeah.
This is the idea of the future of work. That's one. The second one, I had said I would mention one. All right. The second one is brick and mortar office.
Yeah.
It's no longer necessary.
That's true.
Most careers that we have, or if you check most entrepreneurs that are there, if they come to B2C, they go to GBI, co-working space, they go to all these co-working spaces, co-working space areas and do their work.
Yeah.
Or you do it from home.
Yeah.
If you have a client, you meet at a coffee shop.
If you have a smartphone, you can even work from your phone.
And it's done.
And it's happening right now. Like, you can send your emails, you can do your $2, which are 2 gigs of data. You can do so much work.
So if the future of work is like tech like this, then you have a whole generation that will only see a computer or a smartphone when they are 17 years old. Then we have a challenge. How are you going to make sure that your career choice is aligned or is fusing into technology well if you do not know, if you don't know how to navigate
the smartphone,
any LCD camera, if you don't know how to navigate it, then how are you going to make it useful or align it to your career?
Yeah.
So the future of work, that's the other conversation that you were talking about. So the other point, there's a research that was done by this guy. So in his research, he says by the time a child finishes maybe grade 7, according to our educational sector, by the time you reach grade 7, a child would have heard the word no 150,000 times.
Yeah.
And the word yes 5,000 times.
Wow.
So by that time, the audio you're playing, you have been taught to be disciplined by following what is there, no matter what you think, if it makes sense or not.
Exactly.
If we are saying go right, please go right.
Exactly.
What you think doesn't matter.
Exactly.
You know, something like that. So
it's literally grooming them for. Yeah. Well, they say it's the industrial age, but really, I say it's the formal employment sector. That's how you groom your person.
It actually comes from politics. So they designed education for the reasons of controlling people.
Yeah.
So the political space actually said, let's have a space where people go and we design them to think in a certain way so that we can control them.
Yeah.
So when they were controlled, then came the industrial age and said, let's model them in this direction.
Yeah.
If things change, let's model in this. So then the culture comes into the play, the culture of that particular country or people. So I was having this discussion with this guy, old guy, 75, 80 or so. He's the one who was driving. So then, You know Harare driving these days.
Yeah.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Ninye utakuna mapulisa, it's even worse.
Yeah.
So he says, this is not. So he actually said, what's causing this? Then Vandata, manorungu tinga ma license. What do you think? You know, people are just buying license. They're not even qualified to be driving. But Ninye utumunagata say, akabadara. Then he says, no, I don't blame it on buying the license. I blame it on how we are taking the road rules and regulations. When we adopted the road rules and regulations, from a certain community which has its own culture, because of that, looking at their culture, and this is what I'm saying, but it's not fused into into our culture. So then we have so many differences. So for Iwoka, that road rules ino shanda kwao to the extent that ukashika pa robot and itiga kanarisiri kushanda, you know kuti the first thing is for you to stop. Because kune mwimu nambo mira fudara, I have to give that person a chance. Mwini hei waita sayi waienda aienda muna cha uya futa chata, but uyanga kamira kudara, let me give this person a it's part of their culture. Then they have the road rules and regulations and all that. So it's the same thing. You take an educational model, you just copy and paste it from another country, you put it into your country, you do not put into perspective what your culture says, what this says, and then you're going to have a challenge. Oh, then you're going to have all these gaps in between the areas.
So we have a lot
we have to
connect our education with our culture, and at the same time we have to marry it with the advancements in technology.
Yes.
And this is the problem I have with yes men, because yes men don't question things.
They don't,
and they wait for a situation such as this. It's like been building up. Because we've not questioned the system, we've just been taking everything in. Everything has been building up, building up, building up. And now it's at a point where we're like, oh snap, we have to do something. And even our reaction time is not as fast as it should be. It's quite slow.
It's quite slow.
So,
I'm almost coming to an end.
All right.
So, the other one is that, which has been said, our system celebrates repetition.
Oh yeah, it does.
It celebrates repetition big time. And if you fail to repeat, or if you question repeating, then you are a failure.
Oh
and
yeah.
The system puts you aside.
Yeah.
So when I started off doing the work, then I realized that there is a certain group that is mostly forgotten in all the work that we do.
Uh-huh.
Persons living with disabilities.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea is to say that muno or traditionally what people were doing, kanongori ne mwana ane any disability, mwana yanogara akavharirwa mumba and haende kuchikoro, never do anything.
Yep.
But now we are seeing that people with disabilities are just like us. If you are living with a disability, wakangofanana nemwe munhu wese, because you still have your mind intact, so you can still model it to function in a certain way towards a certain career. So anyone can actually choose a career and do what they want to do.
And thanks to the advancements of technology, you can literally sit on YouTube and just start learning stuff.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Just teaching yourself.
So, surprisingly, so at our school we had a resource center, at high school. We had a resource center where, so the school could actually, it actually had a quota system of the students living with disabilities would be accepted in the school. So I actually had two teachers. The one was partially blind, the other one was totally blind. And in these subjects at A-level, I had A's.
Wow.
From these guys.
Wow.
So even up to now, I understand that each and every person who's living with a disability can do something with their life.
Wow.
And it's just us giving them that opportunity.
The opportunity.
And giving them that chance and that support which they need. So right. If we don't have it in our system, then we have a challenge. And bringing not only this group, but each and every other student who, because children are different, but are unique.
Yeah.
So, which means the way Handinoita grasp information is totally different from how you do it. Because Pangwenin do not have the theory more for me to understand. The other person, any a pictorial memory. If I can go one of the image I can go on with, that's it, you know? Mumemuna is a sensory. Anangane is a sensor. And then they know everything. But elu itinakambo kuwane wewe kayo. Muna December. Musuyo wangoka tu pega kepi ya yellow. And it's a t-shirt ya white. Ne budze black. Ne chakati kutu. Ha! How could you remember these things? It's because we take in differently and we analyze and check out the information differently. But the system here do much.
Yeah.
If you just go different to the set targets, yes. You know, practically because of that, dude, you are a failure.
Yeah. That's what they
trouble.
Say.
That's what they say.
And to wana. To paningi panishi. Paningi challenge yedi ba. So.
All right.
So let me get on to the few last ones, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Because we're about to get into our third segment.
All right.
Yes.
So this should be the last one.
Yeah.
All right. So now when you get to understand all these things, then you get one thing which is very interesting, which I covered in the book, specifically with an autobiography of Jackie Mugido. You know Jackie, right? Vought Cosmetics. So Jackie Mugido.
No, I don't know.
Jackie Mugido is a Zimbabwean who's now based in the States. She owns a line in Vought Cosmetics.
Oh.
She in cosmetics. So her company is Vought Cosmetics.
All right.
So you can even see her staff actually signed Jackie lipsticks or something like
all
that.
Right.
So Jackie is huge in this area. So when I was talking to her, then she said, when I was young, I told myself that this is my space. I want to do makeup. I want to be in the cosmetics area big time. And as she wrote her biography, then she said, I had a challenge communicating that this is what I want to do. Because remember, our system, which is the streamlined education, it celebrates lawyers.
Yeah.
It celebrates engineers.
Yeah.
It celebrates accountants.
Yeah.
It celebrates doctors.
Yeah.
If you want to be a teacher, what's wrong with you?
Oh, yeah.
If you want to be like Kao Joshua Ngwe and become a stand-up comedian, dude, are you crazy? Because it's so, this is the stage where if my girlfriend hears this, she'll be laughing. Passion killers.
Yeah.
There's a 10 in each and every, you know, at school, in society, the economy, they are passion killers. You want to follow your passion. You have defined that this is what I want to do. I can monetize in this way. But if you are not going in the right spectrum or the norm, if you are not in the norm, you know, the status quo, then you are an outcast. Even if you choose a career, there are still careers which are out of the status quo for some. How can you not be going to work 8 to 5?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to survive?
Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
You know, you want to get married to this guy. Understand the whoopi. Ah, neta ega. Ah, neta takupi. Ah, sometimes I don't get to have a laptop. I got a kumba.
Yeah.
You know, so there are those careers where people would actually say no. But funny enough, if you read around the future of work says most of these key careers that we are focused on and talking about, they are going to be taken by artificial intelligence.
Jack Ma said, we cannot compete against machines.
Yes.
We have to start embracing softer skills that remind us that we're still human.
In that space, then it says that a machine or artificial intelligence cannot actually do what Kao Joshua Ngwe does.
It can't. It can't be creative.
Artificial intelligence cannot be Kevin Hart. It cannot be Trevor Noah. It cannot be Dominic Benura.
Yeah.
You know? So the art sector, it cannot be Winky D. So the art sector is the one which is going to boom, and it's going to boom big time. Two reasons. One, artificial intelligence cannot take the human element, which these artists have.
Yeah.
Secondly, we have more time to our hands because machines are doing most of the work.
Yeah.
So we need entertainment. And entertainment will get it from the art sector.
Yeah. That's true.
But the careers in the art sector are not celebrated. Challenge of the day.
Thank you so much, Paddington. Mm-hmm. We've come to the third segment, and it's called Celebrity Story. So, I don't know, do you have an international or local celebrity that you once had an experience with, that you had an encounter with, that you had a memorable moment with? Could be local, could be international.
Let me come back to Kao Joshua Ngwe. So, When I started off doing my career work,
yeah.
So I was in university in my last year. Then the first step I took was just to say, let me just open a Facebook page, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I did. But yeah. I was still doing political science. So then I started sharing information about careers and all that. Then I started posting or sharing work being done by Kao Joshuangwe. So imagine, from 2013, 2014, 15, 16, 17, then 2018.
Yeah.
That's when I met him.
Wow.
But all these years,
wow,
we were sharing information online. Dude, can you do this? Yes, I can. All right, let me share it for you. Dude, can you write an article? Yes, I can. Let me do this for you. All right, let's do this. Can you share information on that? Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we? And all this work was online. I only met him after several years, 2018.
Wow.
We couldn't keep quiet. And the Nelsie was there. So Nelsie was angry. Yeah, you guys, you're making noise. Hey, I want to sleep. You want to do this? Because we kept on and on and on and having these conversations like the one we're having now. So how then do we change the mindset? How do we shift perspectives?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, that's, I think that's my, yeah.
Wow, amazing. Amazing. That is dope. A special shout out to Carl. All right, fam, thank you so much for coming through. I had a very, very enlightening moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that conversations such as this should not stop. It's a pity that we only have at most an hour to do a podcast, because then when I go out, I'll complain at us. But yo, this is the level that we ought to be at every day. So thank you so much, fam, for coming through. Where can people follow you and get your book?
So if you go to any social media platform, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter,
yeah,
just say Careers Zimbabwe,
yeah,
and you'll get me there.
All right,
yeah, that's my work. Or follow me on all the platforms again, Paddington Lundu.
All right,
yes.
And the book, how can they get the book?
Currently what I did, I got an advice from one of my friends. So they said, you have to have a change a bit. Do not do the big launch as yet. So, and that means that the book is not yet in the stores.
Right.
So I'm trying out the market myself. I'm seeing how it is.
Right.
If it's profitable,
you go all out.
If it's profitable, then I'll go out. Right. So most probably I'll do the launch in September. Then you will see the book on Amazon and all the other platforms that time. But for currently, you can just send me a WhatsApp on 773-364-464.
Right.
773-364-464. Then I bring the copy to you.
All right.
Yeah.
Right. And be sure to follow us at The Juice. And by the way, Paddington also has a podcast called Careers Zimbabwe on this platform as well. But then I was so curious about education, I felt like it's a subject that we had to discuss today. So yeah. Ah, and that's my 2 cents. I got it serious. Peace. And now. Capital 263.